Hello and welcome to the Monkey on My Back podcast, episode 10. Feed your geeky addiction at mombcomics.com, where you'll find news, reviews, and plenty of good comic book stuff. Smack about John, stand around our spinning orders and take a look at the cyber dreamland that is Digital Comics, and in our spotlight we look at Mark Miller's American Jesus. Monkey on my back, we don't hate comics, we hate everything else that isn't comics.
That's true. That's nice. That's good. My first introduction.
I like that.
So, around the table tonight we have Jane.
Hello, I'm Jane.
And Nick.
We've
got Nick. And James.
Hi, I'm James. You said, and we've got Nick. You just looked at me. Did you fall in love?
I did.
Just a minute, though, right? So we've got me. I'm James. Hello. And we've got Jane and we've got Nick.
Hello.
Who was that mysterious voice introducing us?
I don't know. I didn't see anyone else come in.
It's a motherfucking ninja.
I'm in the house.
Hello,
I am in the house.
That didn't sound even remotely contrived, you guys. I think that was brilliant.
Well, Ninja School's been tough.
Has it been tough? You look knackered.
Yeah, it is.
How's the metal tarsal?
It's good. The metal foot's good. Mm. One thing I've learned, don't hide ninja stars down your underpants.
No, I've done that.
I've pierced my ball bags and chopped off the end of my cock.
Oh, excellent.
So going to the toilet is a complete mess.
And the end of your cock's the useful bit,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Because the rest of the cock
is useless.
The rest of it's padding.
Shaft. But the end, don't worry about the shaft.
Oh, no, well, what's the...
So I'm going to have a metal foot and a metal cock.
Yeah, oh, nice.
That's completely a different place than where I was going to go. I was going to say, he's just flown in from Tibet, and boy are his arms tired. Because of all the ninja training he's been doing, they do a lot of work with their arms.
Mm. And the masturbation.
Yeah, and the masturbation.
So that means that one person isn't.
Who's not here?
Hold on, right. So we'll do another roll call. Jane.
Yeah.
Present. Nick. Present. Richard is present again. So John, isn't it? John isn't here.
John's not here. Where's John? What's he doing?
I know where he is. Well, I know what happened to him. And it's funny, because this actually goes back to what we were talking about 2 seconds ago. John actually got his cock stuck in an elevator chasing after Scarlett Johansson.
His cock was chasing after Scarlett Johansson?
It was attached to it at the time. He got trapped in an elevator. She was trying to escape him. The elevator door was closed. Tracked his penis because he was excited because he was stalking Scarlett Johansson, and he's currently having reconstructive surgery, which is quite useful. So I think locally to us at Oxford Hospital, they've got a new robot surgery system that's so intricate it can peel a grape. So it'd be quite good at doing like nano surgery to reconstruct his baby penis, and that serves John right for taking a week off.
I was just wondering when you were going to run out of stuff that you've obviously been thinking about all day.
I only thought I was winging it after I said he got his penis tracked in an elevator door, to be honest with you.
Oh, right.
I'm just a genius.
That was impressive.
And that was my first, to be honest with you.
I think it's Richard that brings that out of you.
Richard brings a lot out of me. He brings out a lot of my lust.
So what's the deal? I've obviously not been here. What happens now then? What are you going to talk about, the comics you've bought?
No, we've just been fucking about for the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's been great.
Yeah, nothing. Not really been doing nothing. Nothing. That's how I talk now.
Nothing.
Shall we tell people what we've been up to this week?
Can do. What have you been up to, James?
What have I been up to? You're glaring at me. It's really scary. I've not been doing much. I've had a poorly back, so I'm not. It took me an hour to get dressed for work today.
Oh, man.
I was lying on my bed shouting fuck at the top of my voice. I think my upstairs neighbour must have thought I was having a great time this morning.
Was that because of the back?
No, I'm just a lazy bastard.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's because of my poorly back. So that's really put paid to any of my... Because I was thinking about starting up the dog vigilante rustling bullshit that I was talking about the other day. I can't do that. That's all out.
man.
Yeah, my circus skills course that I was going to go on at the weekend, that's out.
Don't, because you saying that's a joke, right?
No.
There wasn't really a circus skills
course. No,
every time you make a joke about a course, it diminishes the real life zombie course, which I'm still going to be talking about in 20 podcast time, probably.
Absolutely, that hasn't got old yet.
It hasn't, it's amazing.
Yeah. I know, but the freezing went quite well at the weekend, didn't it, James?
Yeah, we did, we had a lovely time, didn't we?
Yeah, what so you watched people get frozen.
Yeah, what we were cryogenically frozen.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what you were going to do at the weekend.
God, it was only a week ago.
So you were just chilling.
Fucking hell.
I'm back, everybody. Oh dear. I'll get my coat.
I drink an awful lot, James. I forget stuff, okay?
Yeah, that's true. But you drink to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at least you're achieving your aims.
But I'm not sure what it is I've forgotten that I wanted to forget. Now I'm really confused. Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about what Jane did to this week?
I was going to say, what did you do this week?
I drank. No, I didn't. I walked the dogs. I walked the dog at the weekend with James and his dogs, which was lovely. And his lovely lady wife, who is real. And my lovely lady fiancé, who is real.
She's also real.
Yeah. She's not fictional or imaginary. I was going to say she's not imaginative, but that's not true.
It was nice meeting her.
Well, I'm really uncomfortable with where that was going.
Not only did I get to see she was real, but she's also very nice.
No, she is. She's sweet. She's good. She puts up with me, which is nice. I don't think I did anything else. Oh, we watched a film last night. Jennifer's Body we watched. And it's great. Because I don't like Megan Fox very much as a person, but it's certainly nice having her on the telly.
Yes.
Well, not on the telly, on the screen. And she makes out with a girl called Amanda Seyfried, who is lovely.
I'm quite excited just thinking about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, what has everyone else been doing, Richard?
I saw Ricky Gervais stand up, his new tour.
Was he good?
Science. He was very good. I heard a new way to offend people, if you want to call someone a horrible name, cum pig.
That's good. Is that what you're using that in the week?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that. It was very good. I've seen him a couple of times, but I've always seen him at the end of his tour. Mm-hmm. But this time he was, it's the mini tour before he's got a really big tour next year. So a lot of it he hadn't really remembered, so he was going off at tangents. And he's better, isn't he, when he's just making stuff up on the fly and he's interacting with people. And he was absolutely brilliant, a really, really good show. It didn't have bugger all to do with science, which is what it's called. I think the other one's called politics.
I don't know, most of them have it, do they?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with it. But he was very, very funny. Very funny. So yeah, I've done that. And
did he do the dance?
He didn't, no. No.
So that's the best thing he does, is the dance of The Office.
Do you think?
No, I don't. I just know it annoys the hell out of him. I get the impression it probably annoys the hell out of him, doesn't
it? Yeah, I imagine it does. He was good. It was good. I mean, we're sort of the big, so what's the big, about 3,000 people down in Bournemouth, I guess, about that many. So yeah, really good crowd. And then ninja training, which, you know, takes up a lot of your time.
You didn't come back for this at all, did you? You came back for the Ricky Gervais gig.
Yes, I know. That's true.
Well, and to be fair, the injured foot's put paid to your training for the time being, isn't it?
They do a lot with their upper bodies, I think, don't they?
Ninja training's been complete make-believe, just because I've not been here. So you've just made it up as a nice excuse for my absence.
Oh, you've shown.
This is what it's going to be like.
Cliche of you on Bournemouth Beach doing some ninja moves with some really distant music in the background.
Balancing on a sharp edge.
So you saw me. What have you been up to?
You just, the glee with which he just wrecked that whole thing. Yeah, parachuted in, assassinated it. Hey,
whereas John actually has been chasing after Hollywood superstars
with his cock,
and he's having microsurgery on his penis to repair it. Yeah.
Sorry, Richard was asking Jane what she's been up to.
Oh, yes. At the weekend, I was frozen. decided it's probably best to wait until you're dead to be frozen.
Yeah, for sure.
It was quite boring. Then I read the first four books of Transmetropolitan.
You got through four of them?
Yes.
Bloody hell.
I know. And I was angry all weekend. I was in a very bad mood. And everyone was annoying me. Then I read Superman All-Star 1 and 2. And that was brilliant. And it brought me back to humanity and liking everyone
that
again.
That is a genuinely charming and lovely story,
it was,
isn't it?
Yes, it was brilliant.
And a surprising...
You mean the story of James Week? Or
no, I mean
the
Star Superman. And a surprisingly linear story from Grant Morrison as well.
There's one bit in it where the Bizarro is, that bit really did my head in a little bit, but aside from that,
oh,
I loved it.
The Bizarro's a lot.
That was
though,
one
anyway.
Of my favourite parts.
Mm.
That says something.
This also reminds me of one of my favourite Seinfeld episodes when he meets the Bizarro Jerry. It's very good. He's a big Superman fan, isn't he?
Who, Seinfeld?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that. Yeah. I don't watch Seinfeld.
You should, it's very good, I like it.
Yeah, you and everyone else keeps telling me, but you know, I just can't. I can't do it.
Well,
Rich is already looking at his watch. Okay, so, moving on. They had the big reunion on Curb Your Enthusiasm this week, apparently.
Well, we must be at least an hour and 10 minutes in by now.
Let's talk about some comics.
Is that what we're going to do?
We're going to talk about comics.
I haven't opened the last one you gave me.
Sorry.
Richard's trying to get me drunk.
I'm off tomorrow, so I'm having a few beers tonight. So words might get a bit more slurred.
Which means the sponsorship from Bargain Booze is back.
Yeah. It was a good deal, actually. I've got 12 cans for £8 in Bargain Booze.
12 cans of what? That looks a delicious lager you're drinking,
it's
Richard.
It's Heineken.
That's
Brewed in Holland.
That's Heineken. Brewed in Holland.
Yeah. It looks like your hibernation stash for the winter, though.
No, that's just for the next 20 minutes. I've got a lorry waiting outside.
Richards don't really hibernate. That's a myth.
Yeah,
they're not like tortoises and bears and what else hibernates?
Squirrels.
Squirrels hibernate. Mm. Tortoises hibernate.
Bruce Forsyth.
The bats hibernate.
He only comes out for Strictly Come Dancing once a year. You never see him, thank God.
Yeah.
So...
He might be a partial vampire.
Oh no, don't ruin vampires like that.
He's been alive.
He's going to live forever, isn't he? What is he, 87? And he's still on television.
187.
I'm just pleased with the fact that Jane thinks that Bruce Forsyth can ruin vampires when, like, we've had Twilight in our midst for the last couple of... Forget it, I don't want to get started on this.
Don't talk about Twilight. Yeah.
Richard, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, over here in the UK, we get our comics on a Thursday, because I believe they take a while to reach us.
Steam power paddle boats.
Yeah, they take a little while, so we have to wait till Thursday, unlike our American cousins who get them on a Wednesday. Right. So what did everyone buy today?
Actually, can I stop you there? I don't think we should have to wait till Thursday. We had some intel.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that maybe the comics...
No. We're not supposed to know about that.
We don't know about that.
If you're talking about what I think you're talking about,
no,
I'm not.
But I've got my suspicions, and I think there may be a Machiavellian conspiracy going on to suppress our enjoyment.
What annoyed me yesterday, I went on Twitter, and people at lunchtime were posting reviews of comics that had only just come out in the States.
Yeah.
We don't get them until tomorrow. And they were saying on Twitter, this is fantastic, we've given it a 5 out of 5. Hang on a minute, don't tell me what you think of it just yet. You know,
I don't know.
If I want to find out, I'll go on your website. Don't spoil it for me on Twitter.
You should unfollow them.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, okay, excellent. They had that coming.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You should probably announce that you're going to unfollow them first, isn't it?
You absolutely should announce you're going to... I didn't announce I was going to unfollow them. I unfollowed them and didn't mention them by name and chuntered. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way, if you're listening in America.
Yeah.
Today's Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. Have a nice day, and I hope you have a nice turkey.
They have to eat turkey as punishment.
So eat turkey today and Christmas.
I know, that's too many turkeys that they're eating.
It's bad enough once a year. Dry, horrible thing.
That reminds me of another Seinfeld episode where, he took a turkey and red wine round to a woman who had a really nice toy collection. Stuffed her full of turkey and red wine so she'd fall asleep, so she could play. He could play with her toys.
I've no idea why I ended up watching this show.
It's very creepy,
isn't it?
That is creepy.
I should lend you the DVDs. Jane, have you bought any comics this week? Oh, it's Nick first.
Is it me?
Yeah.
I have. I bought three comics. I'm very skint this week because payday isn't until Monday, so I only bought three, and only because I knew I was going to have to talk about something today.
Please right. send postal orders for Nick to monkeymyback@gmx.com.
I'm very poor. Postal Actually, orders. That's I won't see those though, will I? You'll just nab
them. Yeah, we'll have them.
But so anyway, right. Detective Comics.
Ring.
Don't need to say too much about this. Greg Rucka and J.H. Williams are basically still knocking it out of the park. We're finding out a little bit more about
Kate.
What's her name? Kate Kane and her history.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think this is what says it's so good about this comic. I think on our first podcast we did, we spoke about this comic, and this is the third.
Every issue that's come out, we've ended up talking about.
So it's just the strength of that comic.
And it normally depends on which of us is talking first, which one of us talks about it, because we're all... And I think we were all kind of expecting it to lose momentum or stop being quite so good after the first couple. But it is just... It continues to be an excellent comic. J.H. Williams, he's still doing that thing where the past stuff is drawn in a different style, and it's just lovely. It's really good. We're finding out more about her relationships and how she ended up becoming the Batwoman, so...
The flashbacks are beautiful, aren't they? They're very Silver Age-y, kind of... They contrast what he's trying to do sort of now with his panel layout and the style of it all. It's
a perfect illustration of how art in comic books helps to tell the story. Mm. It isn't just showing the action... It helps drive the narrative of the story as well. It's lovely.
Did he have a big head start on this comic?
I don't know, because he normally doesn't...
It takes him a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. But I imagine the flashback stuff doesn't take him quite as long. But that's not true, because simple drawings can be just as... can take even longer than the heavy render stuff. The interesting thing, which isn't really a spoiler, I won't go into details, but the whole artistic conceit of the past stuff being in that really sort of outlined inked style and the more up-to-date stuff being painted really comes into its own in the last three or four pages as well. It's they make the most of it. It's really good. So I've talked about that, so James probably doesn't have to this week.
I haven't actually read it yet. I'm really looking forward to the whole
bit. I haven't read the Montoya story yet. So
Which I've been really... I moan every time we talk about these. I moan about the supplementary story at the end, the second feature. I really like that question story in the back of Detective Comics.
It's good.
When I'm not being a smart ass.
One other comic I bought, which I'm really not going to say very much about at all, because I haven't read it yet, but Invincible Iron Man issue 20. It's the first part of a new story arc, but it does lead directly on from... I mentioned that Tony Stark was deteriorating and he was basically wiping his brain.
Mm.
So he was functionally brain dead at the end of the last issue. Mm. This one, from what I can gather from reading it, is a lot of it's going on in his head and is quite... It's rooted in what happened before. So this shouldn't be the first Iron Man comic you pick up, probably. But, it's still Matt Fraction, it's still Salvador Larocca. There is a huge update about loads of stuff that's happened to Iron Man in the back, with some quite nice old art. And there is a reading chronology to get you kind of up to date, which features Marvel. 11 trades that they obviously want to try and sell at the moment.
I have to say, Marvel are really good at that, actually, aren't they? About I moan about... sometimes about how hard it is to get into existing books, but Marvel are quite good at trying to bring people in. I hate doing this as well, because I moan when other people do it, but that cover's really cool.
Yeah, I was about to
it's
say
one
that.
Of two variants, unfortunately.
That's really striking cover, isn't it?
There's two covers. The one they're talking about, it kind of looks like an old pulp science fiction novel cover. The other one's a more traditional comic art-y comic art cover. But it's of Stark holding his holding the mask. I can't see who it's by.
On a crowded shelf, I can imagine that pops. So that's really cool.
The only problem with that comic, but actually it has to be said, it's the same with Detective Comics. Still that $3.99 price point, which over here translates to about £3.10, and I think that. For monthly comics, when they've also got the advertising and stuff backing them up, they really should be trying to keep their prices down. The fact they can do comics at $2.99, and yet something that's probably going to sell quite well, like Detective Comics or whatever, or Iron Man, I think all of the Marvel comics are that price now, whereas DC tend to vary them. It's not really acceptable. I thought the last time I looked, it seemed like all of them were that price. Vary. And like their X-Men titles are still, for the most part, I think, we're averaging out of that as well. And it's like, if you know you're going to sell loads of them, you don't need to do that. And that ends up being so much more expensive than the trade. It's not even funny, basically. I did buy Dodge and Logic. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, and I know Richard's got it as well. So I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about it, but I won't mention
it. I'd like to, whether the beer's gonna damage it. I don't know whether you've read the introduction by Alan Moore. If anyone, do you want to explain what it is, if no one's...
If you want to get... We'll wait till we come around to you, because that's cool. Because I haven't looked at it at all yet. I'll look at it while Jane's talking. Oh, I listen to
So, Jane, what have you been reading?
Unfortunately, I'm a little bit behind this week, so I'm going to talk about the ones I picked up last week.
You've got a little behind?
I'm a little behind on my comics, James. I was quite pleased because I managed to pick out two by myself, so it's the first week where...
Yay!
It sounds really stupid. Yay! But it's the first week where I haven't relied on everyone else's recommendations, and the two that I picked out, the first one to speak about is Nola, which I know we shouldn't talk about the cover, but it was the cover that really did stand out. It looked...
Well, I think that's fair enough.
Well, you can talk about it. It's just James always talks about other people's covers.
I don't mean to, but...
The cover's the first thing that'll draw you in and make you flick through it on the shelf, so...
Is it Boom Studios? Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a variant.
They're doing some good comics at the moment.
But, I really enjoyed it. It starts off where it looks like it's in the future, something that's happened in the future, and then when you flick over it, it starts going back and you start at the beginning of the story. So it's in tandem, so you have a part of what's happening now and a part of what's happened in the past, and it comes to the end of the climax. But really liked the illustration, really sort of dark and sort of kept in with the story as well. I'm looking forward to the second part. I can't really say much more because it's the first of four.
Is it set in New Orleans? It's presumably set in New Orleans. Is it around
I should probably
say it. No, it's alright. It's just from the title, I guess.
No, it's set in New Orleans. And looks like something, you know, the first, second page you get into is a wide sort of shot of lots of horrible things happening and somebody trying to get across a bridge and they're being blocked. Mm-hmm. So that instantly sort of drew me in. I'm like, oh, what's happened? And then it's in the next page and it's where it's backtracked the story. So you're instantly engaged. You also want to find out how to get to that. And I've read it in books before and it hasn't worked very well, but in this comic it's actually worked really, really well.
The flashbacking.
It's worked really well. It sort of kept me engaged and you can keep up to date in both parts of the story. So I really enjoyed that.
I think flashback actually is a device that works really well in comics, isn't it?
Yeah, well, because you can show the different times with different art styles or different. You can mark them differently, and you can works quite well in TV as well. But it's not that easy to do in books.
No,
but we hate TV because it isn't comics.
Yeah, we hate everything that isn't comics.
So I was really impressed that I was quite pleased I picked that on my own as well.
Never heard of it.
You did very well.
It's very new.
We're all very proud of you.
I know, thank you. And the second one I'm going to talk about is going to divide a lot of people. You either love or hate Anita Blake, vampire killer, / necromancer, / everything else underworldly. I have read... This is based on a series of books by Laurel K. Hamilton. And I've read... Started reading the books in my teens, and they're easy read, and I enjoyed them. There's quite a few out. I think there's 18 out at the moment. 17 books out at the moment. So
she's knocking them out.
Yes, she's, and I know there's more to come. And this one, I've found out that they did... this is based on The Laughing Corpse, which is just based on the second book in the series, and I've found out that they did a run on the first book, which was Guilty Pleasures, and they've also done a limited series on the first Death, which I think is just a two-part, which I haven't read any of those. But I didn't realise this exists, that they've done a comic book on it, so I was really... In fact, I did squeal in delight when I saw it in the shop.
It was an audible squeal. Exactly. I was a little bit flushed with excitement when I did that as well.
But also, I was worried I was going to be very heavily critical of it, because obviously I've read the book, so I know what happens, and I enjoyed the book, and I was worried, how are they going to turn this into a comic? And they did it quite well. They've got a part at the beginning which just tells you the story so far, because it sort of jumps in partway into the book, and then goes on to sort of the more action part of the book, yeah. I suppose. And it took me a while to get around the illustrations. It's not really my first
style, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not how I've seen it portrayed in the past, with before the comic books came out.
Is that the same issue maybe when you, sorry to interrupt, when you've watched the movie of a book that you've enjoyed and you see it on the screen, it's not quite the way that you've imagined it in your mind? Did you find that jarring, picking up the comic book and then seeing it? It's not quite the way you,
yeah,
you pictured.
Which, sort of instantly, you sort of want to dismiss it, but at the same time, sort of thinking, well, you know, this is somebody else's variation on it. I had my variation of it in my head, yeah, and this is what they've portrayed it as. But, yeah, they did really well. I really, really enjoyed it. It was really nice to sort of see, to have it in another medium, to see it in a different format. So I thought it was really good. And I thought, going back to when I, the first pod I did, when we talked about sort of getting new people into comics, I thought this is a brilliant way of doing it. Books that are popular, that people, and, you know, this is a very female-orientated audience, so they need to make novels. And I thought it was a brilliant way of getting into people into from books into the medium of comics by doing this. And,
if they've already got an audience, definitely, it definitely makes sense.
And I think there
it?
Was a demand from the readers to start a comic, and you know, did it, and it seems to have been really successful, and I really enjoyed this, so I'll definitely look forward to picking this up.
That's good, I suppose, isn't it? So how many of the books did you say you've read?
I've only read 16 books. I haven't read the latest book out because it's on hardback, and I'm not a fan of hardback.
That's good though. It's nice that you're pleased with the way that they've adapted it to.
Isn't it quite pulpy stuff? Is it quite sort of? Sorry, I just completely cut you off.
That's all right. You were looking at me when you said, "Is it pulpy stuff?" I haven't read it. God, I haven't read 16 books in my life, let alone from one series.
No, I'm going to say straight away, I really, really enjoyed the books. There was a point in the series, I think around book 12, it did diminish quite a lot. Yeah.
Are they as good as Twilight?
I've never read Twilight, and I don't think I will be reading Twilight.
I know Nick's a big fan.
Yes, I have heard.
Listeners, there's this thing that happens every now and then where people try and induce nerd rage in me on the internet, and it's quite terrible. And today, both James and another friend of mine called James started doing this with Star Wars, and now he's trying to do it with me in Twilight. But you sow the wind and you'll reap the whirlwind, motherfucker. You be careful. I might get seriously
noogie-ish
on you.
That would be scary if you weren't smiling.
Welcome to All-Star Nick Baiting.
Can I just quickly talk about Spider-Woman? Because I know...
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. I know somebody very much likes that.
I know. I know this has been a big hit and everyone's really enjoying this. And this is issue 3. Never really been a Spider-Man fan, so I wasn't quite sure what to expect Spider-Woman. I find it quite hard to get into things part way, so I did enjoy the story, what I could pick up, but there were obviously there's gaps, and I'm not familiar with it, so that was quite hard. But the one thing I'm going to rave about is the illustrations. Amazing.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It was brilliant. There's nothing else I can really say. It was so apt, it fitted in so well, the story, and the way the characters are portrayed, it's brilliant. I really liked it.
It's another Marvel book that we've ended up talking... No, it's another book that we've ended up talking about every month so far.
I'm going to show my newness. I don't know.
Noobishness.
I've had a few to drink. I'm going to have lots of shishish. I don't really get Spider-Woman. I don't understand where she came from, because she's British, isn't she?
No, I don't.
Is she not British?
I don't think so. Spider-Woman is another one of those Marvel characters that I think got invented for cartoons, like Firestar, and I think that's how she started. I could be wrong, but basically they wanted us...
the motion comic, she's got a British voice.
Oh, well, they might... I mean, maybe. I didn't think the character was supposed to be, but she's... she was, I think, as much as anything, she was invented originally so that Marvel could keep the copyright on the name Spider-Woman. So it wasn't like they needed to do it, but they chose to. It didn't naturally come out of the story. Yeah. And her powers aren't particularly spidery. And they never were in the cartoon either. They're sort of very different from Spider-Man's, aren't they? Even though the costume's really similar. Yeah. So,
and the name.
Yeah, and the name. Yeah, but and she could fly and stuff as well, I think, can't she? So she's very different. But in the Secret Invasion thing with the Skrulls, they basically obviously Marvel didn't make much use of her either, because she was one of the people who'd been kidnapped for years and years and years, hadn't really been around very much, and I still haven't opened this one.
I think Richard's trying to get Nick drunk and take advantage of him. I've got suspicions. I'm worried you're not going to be able to stand up by the time we finish this.
The thing about this comic, yeah, she was the face of, basically the Skrulls used her as the face of the invasion, I think. So she's like, even though people know she was a Skrull, she's still got all of this guilt that she was the one. When people look at her, they see the face of this invasion. So, but this comic, I think it's written from the point of view that most people won't know much about her background anyway, because they seem to, I didn't know about all this stuff about Hydra, and I didn't know anything about her parents, but basically whenever one of these points is introduced, it's kind of like she explains it to the audience anyway, so, which is a little bit sort of like Johnny exposition, but it works quite well, and the art's lovely.
Yeah.
There is something that annoyed, there was a bit when the helicopters were chasing the car through the streets, and I was thinking, I'm pretty sure that isn't how helicopters go. Because they were like flying upside down and stuff, and I was like, I think that would plummet them into a building.
Comic helicopters,
that would scare the
though.
Shit out of me. Upside down helicopter.
It's funny actually, because obviously on Twitter we ask people desperately whether they've got any news or anything, and actually our good friend Chris from the website The Other Murdoch Papers, which is a Daredevil fan site, mentioned how much he's enjoying Spider-Woman at the moment, which is high praise indeed. Just saying, I think it's a massively popular book at the moment, isn't it?
You say she's our friend. She mocked me when I was asking if anybody knew any nice lesbians.
You've still got a bug up your bum about it,
really,
haven't you?
My
friend. She and I both hate you.
That's fair enough. I deserve that.
Yeah. We'd like to poke you with sharp sticks.
But so you're liking Spider-Woman, I'm liking Spider-Woman, and these guys, I guess you're not reading it.
I haven't read it, no, I haven't.
It'll come out.
A snippet of the Motion comic, because I think the first issue was a Motion comic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it came out in Motion comic a while before. You mentioned that it had come out a while before. It's kind of like spy thriller at the set, as well as superhero thing, isn't it? It's quite cool. Pretty good.
Appealed to me.
Another trade weight, maybe.
It'll be good. So who's next? I guess Rich. What have you bought with you?
Me. Well, we touched on Dodgeman Logic a little bit earlier. What's the best way to describe this, you reckon?
Well, it's less comic-y than I thought. I knew it was going to be a fanzine, but it's more not a fanzine, a zine.
Yeah,
but it's more magazine than it is comic. But that, I mean, that's fine. But it's
dare I say it's good toilet reading.
It might be. Well, it's lots of little articles and little strips and stuff, isn't it? I mean, I'm looking now at, I'm leafing through my copy at the same time as Richard is. There's a lemony rice pudding or a pumpkin and kurina soup recipe in here, and there's an article written by Graham Linehan. There's some like comedy bits. You can hear us leafing through stuff in here.
There's a penis. I've seen a penis in it.
I'm putting out all the rude bits.
No, I think it's supposed to. Did you have a thing that fell out as well?
Yeah.
I think this review's going really well, actually.
Yeah, it's not. So this is Dodgeman Logic. So this is Alan Moore's kind of underground magazine. Quite cheap. I mean, it's £2.50, which is pretty good. As Nick says, there's a lot in here. There's a lot going on. I've not actually read an awful lot, but I've had a few to drink, so if I get my words in a muddle, I do apologise, but I think the introduction sums it up best, so I'll try my best to read it out, because I'm looking forward to reading what's going to follow, because Alan Moore's he's a genius.
I believe you, go for it.
So it says, welcome to Dodgeman Locket. There we go.
That went really well.
Take two. Welcome to Dodgeman Logic. Price of admission, your mind and £2.50. Frankly, if you stop at the £2.50, we're not even that bothered about your mind, which is probably full of injected animal proteins and misremembered one-liners from Sex and the City. Let's face the facts. Society is prolapsed and culture is thrashing like a stapled centipede. The economy fades away, a jilted fairy nobody believes in. Meanwhile, our elected leaders are claiming second homes for their anteaters.
You know what, he's... Sorry, have you...
No, carry on, interrupt.
He's no, I didn't know if you'd finished. But he's back in the '80s, isn't he? He's realised that it basically feels like we're back in the '80s.
Eighties is
the
place to be.
Really.
But this is
well, I don't know if that's how he sees it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
misery and unemployment. I can't wait.
But he says the hearses are bumper to bumper in Wootton Bassett. In England, Wootton Bassett, the lot of the troops that are dying over in Afghanistan and Iraq, they go there. Mm-hmm. And basically their coffins are kind of laid out as they're buried, and it's very, very sad. So he's kind of identifying that as well. He said, within our lifetime, Norfolk will become a weird inbred Atlantis, and we won't be sniggering at the inhabitants because of their webbed fingers anymore. The icebergs that we need to pollinate our flowers are dying, and the bees are melting. So he's got his facts straight there, and as he says, I've researched all of this clearly. It's a really, really good introduction. I'm a bit pissed now, and it's all just mashing into one as I try and read it.
I don't think that's coming across though.
No, I think you're doing really well.
I think it probably is.
The magazine itself is a little bit hallucinatory. That's probably not helping. Like, there's a CD, and I think the pages are probably impregnated with something too.
So, I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But what he's done in this is. This is pure Alan Moore, really. He's a creative guy. He's very proud of where he's from. We're from Southampton, and he's up in Northampton. And I admire what he's trying to do here, because he's trying to help creative talent where he lives and around the country. There's even a CD that's there, which is 50 Years of Northampton Music. Which is a number of tracks from people from Northampton.
It's quite a short CD, though, isn't it?
It's quite a short CD. It's probably not going to be to everyone's taste. But what he's trying to do is just get people to be creative and write about what they're passionate about. And that is what's key to this. And you don't really see magazines like this anymore.
No.
So to see one is a rare thing. And it's a beautiful thing. And it should be supported. And I've just turned over the page. And that's some
Kevin O'Neill.
Great art by Kevin O'Neill again. It's already out over here in the UK. If you see it, just grab it. I mean, as I said, it's £2.50. I said earlier on, I think it's good toilet reading.
It's certainly something that you'll dip into rather than
reading one go. Yeah,
yeah, a bit like a Nuts that isn't horrible.
Yeah,
it's nothing like Nuts.
Isn't the idea of this there's going to be regional editions? Wasn't that part of his concept that? Obviously, there's a lot of sort of regional Northampton stuff in there, but I think he wants to do different versions for different parts of the country.
There's a thing in the back that says if you want to get in touch and do your own regional one, then let us know. Mm. And I think some of the inserts and some of the writers and stuff, you can get in touch with them, and they'll help you do a regional version. Sorry for ballsing up Alan Moore's introduction, but I've had a few to drink. But give it a go. I'm definitely going to see what happens with it. It seems quite interesting. Some of the other comics I've picked up today. I suppose Dodgman Log's not really a comic. I'm going to talk about Image United. We kind of made a pact here that we wouldn't talk any sort of negativity towards comics because we realise, well, what's the point? You know, we're doing this to be positive. So,
dude, you're a motherfucking ninja. You can do what you want.
Well, I will be positive in the sense that it's a really nice looking comic. It does stand out on the shelf, and I really admire what they're doing. I mean, if you don't know what they're doing, Image was created back in 92, 93.
Something like that,
yeah. So all the best artists, sort of Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, numerous others got together, and they created their first independent comic label, and they created Image, and they sold a shitload of comics, I think it's fair to say. But what evolved from that was The Wasteland, which was the 90s, because it was a bit OTT. I mean, if it just fell out on a page with a character punching a big shark man in the face.
Oh, it was
basically all style and no substance.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
And I think if you look back at the 90s, and I stopped reading comics in the 90s, and something very big in the 90s was it was all about the artists. The artists were big property. What seemed to happen in the noughties is it's all about the writers. So there seems to be this kind of we're at this stage now where maybe the two can get together, and as we reach the end of the decade, maybe we're seeing improvement at all. But Image United is a really good idea. Basically, it's the founders of Image United getting back together to they each draw their own characters again to try and create a story, which is written by Robert Kirkman, who's a great writer.
He's a good writer.
And it's a very good idea. It's a very loud comic, but it just feels a bit dated. It doesn't feel like it's pushing the medium any further as it should do. But I would like to give them credit for trying something different. So that's Image United. I mean,
have you seen all six variants?
They all together. Don't they?
It looks very cool. If you lay them next to each other, it's one very long, wide screen sort of image, isn't it? It looks really cool. What's really interesting in the front of that book, when you see the credits in a comic book, it's always the writer first.
Normally, yeah.
Yeah, in that book, artist and the writer.
The one thing I do, I kind of, because obviously I was still reading comics at the time, and the wording we used, which I think was possibly just Richard misspeaking slightly, was these weren't the best artists necessarily. They were just the most popular.
Yeah, sorry,
they were the ones. They were
at selling Marvel. The highest.
Yeah,
like Spider-Man, X-Men were huge, and I read a lot of those.
And they then kind of
they just seemed to disappear. And then when I remember Image coming out and being quite excited at the time, but like you said, it's all style over substance. There wasn't really any kind of story to carry. It looked great, and I've still got some.
Mm. Some of them were. I mean, he's not in this, but the Max was good by Sam Keith, and some of Todd McFarlane's stuff was okay. It was quite good early on and stuff. But I mean, basically, what they did was, it was all about money. Unfortunately, they were doing really well at Marvel, and they basically thought that they weren't being recognised enough. Financially recognised enough, and they were complaining that they'd been the reason why Marvel was selling so many comics, and it wasn't anything to do with the writers, so they decided they could do it without Marvel's without Marvel's property. And to be fair, they did sell an awful lot of comics for an awfully long time. But now, I mean, Rob Liefeld, who is all over this comic, rightly or wrongly, is quite badly maligned, and
we do the layouts.
Yeah,
pretty unfairly, I think. Sometimes some of the abuse Rob Liefeld comes in.
Some of the actual fan abuse he takes, but some of the criticism is fair. I mean, like, I don't know. Anyway,
some of the abuse really makes me feel uncomfortable.
Of the bunch of them,
Jim Lee's the biggest piece missing from the jigsaw.
An alternate cover, didn't
he? Yeah, there's a cover there that I bought because I don't think we're going to buy the rest, so that's why I went for the variant that he did. He's the biggest piece hit, but I admire what they're trying to do, and I support Image purely for the next comic I'm going to talk about, which is Chew, because they have evolved as a company and they are trying new things. And Chew, which probably most comic fans have talked about, today saw issue number 6, which is the new arc, which is International Flavour, 1 of 5. If you don't know about Chew, it's about a detective called Tony Chew, who basically, whatever he eats, he finds out exactly where it's come from. So if he eats an apple, he knows where the apple came from, so the tree that it came from, what pesticides were used. If he eats a hamburger, he knows how the cow was slaughtered and how it ended up on his plate. So I don't want to spoil it too much because the trade's out today, but basically what Image have here is an absolute classic. Chew is brilliant. I've really, really enjoyed every single issue so far. The next arc's started today, and what it does, it reintroduces Tony Chew to his partner that he was in the first issue, where he was a policeman with his partner who we all thought that he died, but he hasn't, and he's come back, and he's had, like myself, he's had a restructured face. It's very metallic, and off they go to try and solve a new crime. And this is a...
Hey, that metal face, that's the look I was going for when I was going to become an android.
He has, he's got a glowing eye.
All the time now.
Oh, don't become robots.
Sorry, Richard.
No, that's all right, that's all right.
You're not allowed to speak to robots.
They scare me.
Oh, okay.
They are quite scary.
They are scary.
I know you've been reading Chew as well, James. I know...
I liked it for the most part. It's had loads and loads of heat around it, hasn't it? I know
it has.
Like the first issue, considering it's so new, goes for ridiculous amounts of money.
Mm.
I like it. I think by the end of the first arc, I wasn't sure why I liked it, but I know I like it. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the story and the character evolves. I think they've got a really cool premise in terms of, you know, he eats things and then he gets a sort of psychic reading.
Yeah.
From what's happened to that. The art's lovely. It's a great sort of cartoony sort of style, isn't it? It's a really good fun book, actually. There's a lot, I mean, it's more positives than negatives. Mm. I know you're a massive fan of it. You got me into it.
Was the first trade on the shelf today as well?
Yeah, it was, right. Yeah.
Because I think I bought the first couple and I was waiting for it to come out in trade, so...
But it's a good... just the reason why I wanted to talk about Image United, really, that it's not my cup of tea, so to speak, but it's good to see that Image is still here. And okay, their foundations are built on comics that do look dated now, but they're doing comics now, like Chew, that are really trying to push the medium, and they're trying to have fun with the medium, and they're trying to create a sense of fun, and they're using artists that are very quirky and very indie inspired, and so credit where credit's due. Whilst Image United isn't the best thing I've read this week, Chew is. So it's the good and the bad.
Is it fair to say with Chew and Image United, you've got the good and the not quite as good?
The awful.
You can say awful if you like. Yeah, I've not read it. I won't want to judge.
No, it's worth noting that it's an editorial mandate that's made this happen. It isn't a creative one. The Image changed, although they were always supposed to be like an independent company. There was I don't know who it is there, but they've always kind of, there's always been this force within them trying to push for more creator owned stuff, for more people to come in.
Mm.
So all of the original stuff was creator owned. Well, it's all creator owned, but all of the original stuff, all of the original guys set up their studios and started making money and employing people to draw their comics, which is more the way the other comic companies run. Even though the people who, you know, even though it isn't the creators who own the comic, who own the characters there, it's the company. These guys, comics like Chew, and I don't think I've got anything this week, but a lot of the more interesting stuff that's coming out of Image, they're not actually being paid by Image. The way it works is they go to Image with their project, and I think Image publishes it, but they have to promote it all themselves, mm-hmm. and they don't really get any money unless the comic sells. So it's what, and Viking I think is the same as well. So Although it's really good that Image has that new editorial, that has had that editorial mandate for the last few years, it isn't like they're going out, it isn't like the editors or the company, the way it happens at places like Marvel and DC, are going out and finding people to pitch stuff.
You've actually had a very, and I won't talk long for this because usually we only talk about two comics each, but you've given me a good segue there. I guess it's the same with Icon, Marvel's imprint.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's the facilities to print it.
Mm-hmm.
You do everything else. Mm-hmm. You get it into the shops and you do everything else. Just a very quick mention for Criminal, The Sinners. I won't say too much because I got told off for spoiling it last time.
Butler did do it though, didn't he?
Yeah. Because I know a lot of people collect this in trade as well. But if you enjoy any of the other Criminal series, then you'll enjoy this. It's that simple, really. If you were interested in crime comics, you should read this. But I just want to give a very special mention to someone that we follow on Twitter.
Of course.
That I read today. Australian Noir by Ryan Lindsay. I believe, I'm trying to remember now, I think it's Stink Brown is his website. I've put something on the website to link to his website. He's written
the website, is that mombcomics.com?
That's our website.
Good website.
Mm-hmm. He's an Australian, and generally us Brits and Australians don't get on because the Australians always beat us at sports.
Apart from the Ashes this summer.
Yep, and I've just spilt my beer everywhere.
Should we get the dog in to drink that up?
Yeah, she loves it.
I've spilt my beer everywhere. I just knocked it with my foot. Should we pause?
No, we're all right. It's all right, James. No.
So,
never Richard.
If ever you buy Criminal, you'll know that the comic's good value for money because you get so much story. And it's beautiful by Sean Phillips. And Val Staples never gets really mentioned. And he's a beautiful colourist. Mm. He does so much in a very simple style. He manages to convey so much just with a very small palette.
Mm-hmm.
But what's quite interesting is reading about Ryan's take on Australian crime films. So the obvious one that stood out to me, well, firstly was the Kelly Gang, so Ned Kelly, and then reading about Chopper. James has put me off because he's mopping up the beer that I spilt all over my feet.
So what you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what he could have won.
But Ryan's a really, really good writer, and I know that he's writing a lot at the moment, and he's keen to try and break into the comic industry. And if any comic people stumble across our little podcast, I suggest you go and seek him out at Stink Brown, because he writes very, very well. And if Ed Brubaker thinks he writes well, and Sean Phillips thinks he writes well, then you need to be looking at what he's doing on his website, because he's a clever bloke and he deserves a little bit of a little nosy around his website.
Yeah, we're really pleased for you, Ryan. Well done, mate.
So I'm a bit pissed. So I'll pass that to
James. That's not coming across at all.
Is it not?
At all. No. Not when, especially when I look at your eyes. Yeah. And piss holes in the snow, mate.
So James, what did you get this week then?
Me?
Yes.
I got some comics.
Did you?
Yeah, I got some really good ones.
He's so coy.
He didn't really.
He's such a flirt.
He bought like Women's Weekly and things.
I did get Women's Weekly.
Buys it for the articles.
I'm sure.
I got issue 1-68 of Debbie magazine. I'm only joking. Jane and I were walking to Forbidden Planet earlier, as we often do. That's the excellent Forbidden Planet in Southampton. We walked past a charity shop that had a great deal of Debbie comics in the front. And one of the conceits that we were going to make up about the reason why John isn't here is we were going to pretend that he'd actually got a job. What was it? Applying a Dewey Decimal System to the Debbie comics.
Yeah, indexing Debbie comics.
In scope. Yeah, indexing Debbie comics in scope.
You didn't buy them?
James wanted me to buy them.
Yeah.
How much were they?
I don't know. It was in a charity shop.
How are they?
Quite cheap.
Old.
You're more interested in Debbie comics than I think you should be.
Some really good fucking artists used to work in those.
Really?
Sean Phillips started in girls' magazines.
So I'm sitting here taking the piss, but actually what I'm doing is shitting on our comic book heritage.
Yeah, yeah. You can't say, oh, it's not all about superheroes, and then bitch about girls' comics.
I don't think, out of all of us, I'm probably the one who is least likely to say it's not all about superheroes,
that's
given
true.
What a big fan of hero comics I am.
They are just male power fantasies, though. You do know that, don't you?
Is that why I don't?
Really?
I'm not into superheroes, you think?
Yeah, it's generally about how small your penis is, and I don't think you've got a penis.
Does that mean
you don't think?
Does that mean I'm emotionally undeveloped?
I think so, yeah. Don't worry, I'm emotionally undeveloped too.
You're such a cockend. You are. You're John's metal cockend. Fucking hell.
He's not turning
is
into a robot as well,
no.
Is he?
I thought we're after.
You might have done
those. I'm pretty sure we said John's getting a metal cockend.
All I remember from that first bit is John, cock mutilation, cock mutilation, cock mutilation. That's all I can remember.
Well, what does that say about me? if you think you know what that says about me, send us an email to monkeyonmyback@gmx.com.
My face is going all red. Richard keeps saying he's getting drunk and actually seems fine, whereas I'm quietly not saying I'm getting drunk here and starting to feel really tipsy, even though I've only had...
Actually, I've always been really impressed by Richard's capacity for alcohol. He drinks me under the table very quickly. It's embarrassing.
So what comics did you buy?
Am I going to have to talk about that? I bought lots, but the two I'm going to talk about is one I bought this week, one I bought last week. Mm-hmm. The one I want to talk about this week, I'm not sure I've mentioned it on the podcast, but I've been enjoying it, is Gotham City Sirens.
I know you mentioned it.
And it is, obviously, it's a Gotham old... Yeah, Richard's pointing out Ivy's more than adequate boobs on the front cover.
Oh, God.
And it features Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and Catwoman.
And their boobs.
and their boobs, absolutely. Written by Paul Denis, who was responsible for what he used to be a story editor on the Batman animated series, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote Arkham Asylum.
That's it. Yeah, he wrote the story for Arkham Asylum, and he's been writing Gotham City Sirens, which has been a great, enjoyable read. I was going to say fun again, but I tend to say fun about 18 times, don't I? So I'm going to try very hard not to say how much fun it was. This is a revenge tale, essentially. It's, do you know, I can't remember the dude's name there. It's Joker's little chum.
Harley Quinn? No.
See, this is a revenge tale on Harley Quinn by, where's his name? Gaggy.
Who, I have no idea who that is.
Who in years gone by used to be Joker's sidekick. He's basically pretended to be the Joker, taking his... No one knows him.
But Gaggy just sounds really...
weird.
There's a lot of adverts in that comic.
Oh, it's DC, isn't it? It sounds a little bit...
As a matter of fact.
Well, you know, I love...
Just every page you turn, an advert.
I love DC Comics. They do have a lot of adverts. Mm. Anyway, he pretended to be the Joker and lured Harley Quinn in and he tried to kill her. Because obviously she somewhat stole... I'm not even pissed and I'm stumbling over my words. She somewhat stole his thunder with the Joker, mm-hmm. So he's trying to get his own back. It's a romp, basically.
It's a superhero-y...
It's a superheroine...
Heroine-y romp.
It's colourful, it's light-hearted.
It's full of adverts.
It's full of adverts, but that doesn't...
Has it got adverts in?
It has got adverts, which doesn't detract from the story. And it's been superb. Number six is the end of the arc. I imagine it'll be out in trade. I think it's worth a look, to be honest with you. It's, you know, it's not going to change the comic book medium. It's probably not going to be the greatest comic book story ever written.
Ooh, Tekken.
But so you're so much more articulate than I was. I really must stop drinking at these podcasts.
No, thank you. That's very nice of you. I love you too.
I love you too.
But I've enjoyed it a great deal. If you like that sort of thing, get it when it comes out in trade. Second book I was going to talk about is, you want to talk about an advert in there, don't you?
The advertising prototype.
It's been out for ages.
That's been out for ages. That's peculiar. Are you but sure this isn't a last year's? You didn't buy this in a time warp?
Unless the guys who put together my standing order at Forbidden Planet have stitched me right up.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a
I think it might have been out
aberration.
Today.
Maybe there's something else being...
It has to be said, actually. I know Richard... Poison Ivy does look gorgeous on the front cover. She is lovely. I'd happily be cast under her spell and do her bidding.
So what was your next comic then, you weirdo? Hey,
I'm sorry, I'm really focused on...
She's not real.
She is real.
Is anyone else real. Ever real, though, Richard? You
I
don't know
keep
that you
real,
can only
Nick.
Trust your... You can only trust your senses, and aren't they just lying to us all the time anyway?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Okay, so...
Just call him a cockend and move on.
Victorian Undead.
Victorian Undead. Sherlock Holmes versus Zombies. I did a quick blog piece about this. I said, with a title like Victorian Undead, Sherlock Holmes versus Zombies, it's either going to be a car crash or it's going to be riotous good fun. And, luckily, it's riotous good fun. Written by Ian Edgington. Wow.
I read his name on the front cover. I was wondering how long it was going to take to find.
Yeah, and art by David Fabry. It's just a great... I get really embarrassed because I keep saying things are great fun, but it really is. It's an amazingly enjoyable read. It's set in Victorian London, funnily enough, considering it features Sherlock Holmes. A mysterious meteorite crashes into said town, which starts a plague of pestilence that obviously are turning people into zombies. Meanwhile, Sherlock Holmes elsewhere is fighting an automaton foe who seems to recognise him. I suspect he's probably got something to do with Moriarty. Anyway, eventually by the end of the book, Sherlock Holmes is involved in the mystery with the zombies and gets told to sling his hook by some mysterious gentleman.
Moriarty, basically, Sherlock Holmes is the Scarlet Witch, did it?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
how does it stack up against Moore and Rippian's?
It's like, what did I suggest the other day? Something like comparing rocks and antelopes.
Hmm.
They're two completely different things. Moore and Repian Sherlock Holmes was excellent, but it was very much
a straight
Sherlock Holmes story, very much in the style of Conan Doyle. This is very much in the style of Conan Doyle if he took a lot of acid and watched a lot of 70s horror.
So not like Robert Downey Jr. / Hammer, because he's playing him this year, isn't
it? He is. Well, next year it'll be now, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it comes out.
It's Tanya Moore cover, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely. It's a great read. I wasn't sure. You know, it's one of those titles, you see it on the shelf, and you look at the title, you look at the cover, and you're like, is this going to be any good? I was absolutely stunned. I really enjoyed it. Out on Wildstorm. And I don't pick up many Wildstorm titles.
Well, they do the same thing that Image are doing. They've got like quite a few odd little books coming out under them.
But a decent heritage. I mean, they have some absolute outstanding books, don't they, Wildstorm? But
Ian Edgerton's really good at the high concept stuff, but he normally does really, really well up to a point, and then the last act is always really rushed. So it'll be interesting to see, because a load of the 2000 AD things he's done have been really, really good. None of which I can think of right now, but they're all good.
Talking about rushed last acts, we should probably move on, shouldn't we?
Yes. First, just before we do,
the
comics have started having the January 2010. You know, they're always dated a couple of months ahead.
Yeah.
I always quite like it when we skip on to the next year.
2010. Mm. That means not only is 2001 a Space Odyssey.
Not true. Neither is 2010.
2010, which is a much better movie. Still, it really explains.
I like
things.
I like the John Lithgow in it as well.
Yeah.
Still, James, fingers crossed for 2012.
Absolutely, yeah, fuck the minds. I was having a conversation with someone about that the other day, telling them what complete nut twats they were.
Oh, you pick a fight with them now that they're extinct.
Come on, minds, bring it on. I swear it on. No, I shouldn't. No, the minds were great. I like everything they did.
They'd brilliant. Have zombie strength if they came back now as
well. Yeah, totally. I really dig the minds. Whoop, minds.
Can we have a cigarette break?
No, I don't think so. We have to crash on.
You have to.
Do we? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. On with
it's the easiest way to get it over with.
Digital comics.
We've been going on for ages.
We have. Digital,
just over an hour.
We were going to talk digital comics, I think, next, weren't we?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
You had like five toilet breaks.
you should have had one in the going there.
So we have. So digital comics, if you're still listening, if you're still with us, thank you.
I've missed you so much, Richard. Your arms are bigger.
If you're still with us, well done. And we'll get you some t-shirts printed up and they say, I actually made it past the hour mark on the Momcast.
It's the hour mark.
Wherever
this
you
is
live,
like
I will come to your house and I'll give you a big kiss and a cuddle.
That could cost you a lot of money, I think.
No one will call me out on that, though.
Oh, please, if you listen...
This sounded more like a threat. If you didn't sound like something you had to claim.
It will be a threat. You've not met me.
Yeah. Not only is he lovely, he's a very good-looking boy as well. Please.
Oh, James.
I find you very attractive. Please call him out, because I want to laugh at him when someone... in a country far, far away, calls him out and suggests they come in.
But you have to pay
kiss
for the flight.
It suddenly turned into, it's a bit too Noel Edmonds /
who's it has a little
guy
bit,
who's always with him, the guy who
Mr.
drinks.
Blobby.
No, not Mr. Blobby. It's Mr. Blobby have a drink problem. Keith Chegwin, that's who I was thinking. I just said all
Cheggers.
That out loud, didn't I? I met him. He's really nice,
Is his penis as small in real life as it seemed to be on the TV?
I never saw it.
He was stopping
traffic in Southampton for
naked.
A big breakfast or something.
He was stuck in traffic.
Stopping traffic. They used to film the bits that were apparently happening in the morning, where they go out into a town and talk to people around midday or something.
Bastards.
And I was a student at the time. That's nearly 15 years ago.
Shall we talk about digital comics?
We were going to talk about digital comics. What were we going to say about digital comics?
Well, I think because we've got Richard here, and I think we've always mentioned what an advocate he is for digital comics, and to be honest with you, it's probably not something I would have even thought about had it not been for Richard advocating digital comics. Thought it would be a nice opportunity to talk about them, what they are.
Because I'm so articulate at the moment. Promote it.
You're always articulate.
It'll make it more fun.
Probably will. So, digital comics, it's a huge, huge subject, and it's... It's it, it's quite difficult to break it down, so we've decided to break it down in a few areas. Firstly, we thought we'd talk about the formats that are out there. So obviously one of the big areas at the moment is that digital comics are on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. You can download them. There's obviously web comics, which I know that you read, Nick. You need
I read
a few. And then, of course, there's the whole strategies behind what the publishers are doing with digital comics as well. So if you look at DC, they're doing Zooda, mm-hmm. Which I kind of admire, because what they've said to the comic shops is, we're going to support you, we're going to keep selling comics. What we're going to do with our online digital comics is create new comic writers and artists, and we've built Zooda, which is basically, if you've not been there, I really suggest you do, is you go, you write your comic, you draw your comic, and the community votes on whether it's good enough to be published with more stories. I think that's fair to say. It's
quite a sort of
summary. Whereas Marvel have gone the other way, and on their website you can read their huge back catalogue of comics. And what you can also do is download them to your iPhone if you live in America. You can't actually do that over here, which really surprises me, because comics in Europe are a lot more difficult to get hold of than they are in America. So they've missed a trick there. They should have moved them over here first, I think, really.
Yeah, because I think one of the points we're probably going to make is it's about reaching new markets and expanding the market they sell into. Maybe you're right. Maybe it would have been a good idea for them to start selling these in Europe, but then at the end of the day, I guess it's
a small market. I guess
you're going to sell them into the market where you make the most money. I mean, simple economic facts dictate that you're going to do that. I don't know whether there's going to be additional rights issues over here. It can't be, can there?
I don't know, possibly. But I mean, there is a Marvel UK and stuff. I imagine they've sorted most of that stuff out. I think the issue for me is that it's like the companies have all missed a couple of stages here. We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast. And I quite like what DC are doing. They're using the social aspect of the web to try and sort of promote new comics online and stuff, and that's quite a good way of doing it. What Marvel did, I think Marvel were kind of at the forefront of this. They've done a better job apparently with the motion comics recently, but they were at the forefront of doing all of these bells and whistles like interactive or animated comics and stuff like that a few years ago. And it seems like they've missed a few stages. They've got so excited or so worried about the idea of the web that they went straight to let's do comics that only really work on these particular comics that only really work on the, although they were normally versions of print comics, and missed the point that the way comics work is that they're not animation, and they're not when you talk about the motion comics, they sound more like animation that happens to still have they're like audiobooks or something like that.
I think that's maybe the issue that I've had with when we talk about digital comics in the round. When I first started hearing about them, I thought about motion comics, which to me have always looked a little bit like the beloved British cartoon Captain Pugwash to me. And often not very well executed.
They're not quite right as comics, but they're not good enough as animation either, and it's kind of... And I think there are a whole bunch of stages in between that we shouldn't keep talking about the fact that we should just deliver it straight. We're breaking through the fourth wall that apparently doesn't exist again here when we say this.
Yeah.
But Marvel jumped a whole bunch of stages, and they missed like making their books, their actual physical books, more easy to get hold of because of using the internet. So that's their online catalogue for their real comics isn't great. They're moving back as far as the motion comics are a step on, and they're better than the previous iteration. And the fact that the stuff works quite well on your iPod and you can read their comics is really good. But it's like they're having to come back to a point where they're basically still delivering comics. Because the thing about comics as a medium is they are basically words and pictures. The written word and pictures, and they're sequential art, and the minute you start animating those,
they're something different. Their animation and they're completely different. And people don't go to comics for animation. They go to animation for animation. Yeah. So it's quite good that Marvel seem to be realising that. Apparently, the Spider-Woman thing was about as close as you can get.
I think a lot of the what they're doing with the motion comics is almost a platform to promote a new story or a new arc, which works quite well. But sort of going, I think motion comics are a bit of a dead end. You're absolutely right. It is that kind of ground between comics and animation. It's not one or the other. Mm. So it's gonna be very difficult for anybody to find that common ground. I watched. When I used to go to the gym, I used to watch The Watchmen on my iPod because I knew the film was coming out, and so I got the motion comic of The Watchmen, and it was all right. It was pretty much the comic, but the voiceover was terrible, particularly the scene in Vietnam, and it was a bloke that did all of the voices, so he's trying to do a Vietnamese female accent. it's pretty jarring. It's not a nice experience.
Was it unintentionally racist?
Yeah, it was a little bit. It wasn't the comic, but I hadn't read the comic for about a year, so opportunity, going on my lunch breaks at work, going to the gym, watching it, great. If I was on the train, great, I could watch it. It served a purpose.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything. I could stare at it. It's not how I would choose to watch or read a comic, but it kind of served a purpose because I knew the film was coming out and I wanted to kind of remind myself, you know, The Watchmen and everything else, and a different way of reading it and watching it was quite good. So I don't see them going anywhere, really. I think it's going to be quite a good promotional tool for the comic industry to release a motion comic. What I was quite pleased to see was last week, the PSP, the PlayStation, Sony PlayStation portable device, they've released a update for their comic reader. So next month, I think IDW and Marvel, amongst lots of others, you're going to be able to read comics on the PSP. And I know you guys spoke about kids reading comics. Perfect device, PSP.
Yeah.
Really, really good opportunity for the publishers to get out there and get comics to kids.
Yeah.
Because we all see kids. You know, I've got a nephew and niece, and they're always playing with their video game consoles. They'll probably read comics on a handheld device because it feels more natural to them because that's what they're used
to. There's an argument for that. That makes sense.
So, and from what I've seen, it's done very well. You know, it looks stunning because the display is so clear, but also it's got that feel of turning the page over and it's still trying to say the same story. So if we all think back, I mean, we were all there in the 90s when mobile phones came back. Came out. Did we all think we were going to have a mobile phone in the 90s?
I resisted it for such a ludicrous amount of time. I'm probably the oldest here, though, aren't I?
So, by a long way, yeah.
I was resisting it quite. I'm actually still surprised when I think back. It doesn't seem like that long ago that I was really pissed off with people using them in pubs all the time.
And I think
so. That's how technology comes in, isn't it?
I guess this is the point you're making, Richard, isn't it? Is for us, we're that little bit older, and although we have all these digital devices, it's still something new and flashy, and it's exciting to us because, you know, it's, you know, we grew up in an age of 16-bit microcomputers, didn't we? So having these whizzy devices is very exciting, but we also grew up reading comics, and that's what we're used to, the way we're having these stories delivered. Whereas kids now, that's what they're used to. That's what they do all the time. It's not, you know, exciting and new to them. It's just the way the world is. Is you have things delivered directly to devices that you carry around in your pocket.
Which is why it's good that Marvel are making comics available.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you spoke in length a few episodes ago about kids not reading comics. Marvel have made a very shrewd move. You know, it's not perfect, but getting it out there, and as you say, it's natural for kids to do it. It might not feel natural for us, but I remember, I mean, I've known you, James, for a long, long time. Do you remember when we had a pager?
I remember we had a pager. That was back when you were a heroin dealer.
Yeah.
I'm joking. He was never that.
I thought I was dead against mobile phones because I thought, I don't want anyone contacting me. No, I don't want anyone contacting me. People want to contact me, they can phone me at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had a pager and used to hate it because you had to speak to the random woman.
That's it, you had one of those really great ones where there was actually physically an operator and you had to tell them what your message was. Could you say, all right, Rich, coming out tonight?
Absolutely terrible thing, but it. And then you gave me my first mobile phone, so. Yeah, your old Nokia phone with the green digital display.
What a bastard I was.
And then I started texting, because that was a thing in the 90s, everyone started leaning down and texting. And at the time, you didn't really think it was much of a cultural sort of revolution, but it really was.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now, is people, and there's kids that are brought up in that, and that's where the comic industry needs to go. Kids won't be interested in paper. They will want to read things digitally, and they will.
I think it's true. It's the same for CDs, same for films. I think there's a generation now that won't feel the need for a physical product in their hand.
I think that there will be some people in that generation that won't feel the need for a physical thing in their hand. On the other hand, there's a problem with technology, and this is something, because I kind of work in web.
You do,
in,
yeah.
Not web design or anything like that, but web services. And the problem with technology is always that people think about it in terms of either or. They always think of it in a binary sense. And so it's always all or nothing, and that's the way people naturally think, and they think that that's going to happen. But the thing is that we say this about kids, but on the other hand, none of us would have imagined that as many kids would be reading Harry Potter as read Harry Potter, or Twilight. I mean, Twilight's like older teenage girls, but we wouldn't have expected them to be reading those, and most of those are reading them as books. Yeah, there's no shortage of these crappy... It's not about comics, I think I'm all right. There's no shortage of these crappy Nuts magazines and Take a Break and... Of all
I
of
think
these
you
magazines
have to call
coming
nuts
out.
Crappy.
Yeah, there's no shortage, but there's that for the guys, but yeah. there's all of these celebrity gossip magazines, and yeah, it's because people are obsessed with celebrity. But at the same time, the very real thing is that while we hear about newspapers struggling and thinking that technology is taking over, and we hear this in lots of different areas, at the same time, there are people reading magazines, and this is a new market. There probably isn't anyone over 40 buying Take a Break's a bad example, but buying, you know, these frivolous magazines. The difference is those are cheap, and they've got quite a lot in them that you can flick through. They're toilet reading, basically.
Yeah,
because nothing's ever going to be better.
But do you not think that what's going to happen with digital comics, at least, is a gateway? You know, smoking pot's a gateway drug to other things.
For people,
it's, you know, they're going to get a taste of comics.
For people who use,
and then they might go and buy a trade.
I don't know. Yeah, you misunderstood. It's possible I didn't make my point very well because I've been drinking. Some people are going to find their way in like that. The people who use the PSP a lot, or who use their iPhone or whatever. And that's the way we should. That's the way everyone should be thinking about technology. Same way everyone should be thinking about magazines, magazines and everything else. What the companies need to be doing is looking at these opportunities opening up, but not restricting themselves to one thing. Because comics as a medium, the second one of these companies, I personally think the second someone like Marvel starts thinking entirely about delivering everything on an iPod or delivering everything on handheld or monitors, they're going to end up completely changing the way those stories are told. Because this is the thing we were talking about earlier on. It's very good if you want to read Irredeemable on there, and if you want to read Irredeemable and you want to read it while you're on a long journey, you want to have a bunch, you know, if you travel a lot, it's useful for you to have that stuff in a format that's really easily portable like that. But the fact is, at the moment, comics aren't really designed to be read one panel at a time or anything. The way artists do them, the way writers do them, the way the medium works, is
is a page at a time, and the page kind of makes sense, and you flip over, you have a whole page of stuff that builds up to something, and you flip mm-hmm. over the page. Granted, a lot of writers and a lot of artists working in the industry don't do that, but those aren't the really great ones most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about Detective Comics.
Yeah.
How could you break that down? Is
just that uses the page beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Alan Moore, who... and it's interesting, actually, thinking about it, that Alan Moore's decided to revisit the zine, which is all very big pages, and it's all very, like, delivered in a really straightforward way. Because he's another one. I mean, John would talk about it more eloquently than me, but Watchmen, although you can read it a panel at a time, the pages are designed mm-hmm. so that you see one, you sort of see stuff that's going to happen, but don't read it yeah. until it happens, sort yeah. of thing. And this is it's an interesting thing about webcomics, actually. Most webcomics are designed so they'll be perfect to read on these tiny little...
No, absolutely.
They're all delivered. They're delivered in one hit, the same way newspaper strips are.
Mm.
But the thing is, we've always had newspaper strips, and that hasn't changed the way comics work.
I'm really surprised, and it might be out there, but I'm always talking about my fucking iPhone because I love it. But I'm surprised nobody's built an app where they say, "This is your platform to publish your comic."
Mm.
We're an application. We're specifically for the iPhone. Publish your comic here. Just submit it, and then we'll publish it. Because it's a format that would lend itself so well to independent writers to promote what they're doing, and no one seems to be doing that. And I'm amazed that that hasn't arrived yet. Because, well, I'm amazed that Marvel are going through the likes of Comixology and Panfly and Iverse to put their comics on the iPhone. They've not done it themselves. But at the same time, I'm amazed that there's not someone out there saying, well, come to us, we'll put your comics on the iPhone. Because it's the perfect platform for independent writers, really, because they need to be seen, and you know, you could do it quite quickly and easily.
I think it's probably reasonable to say that almost everything... Well, not almost everything, but a lot of the really useful applications that you get on iPhones are ways of making the iPhone work with things that exist on the internet. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist separate from the internet, and although that you've got some really nifty ways of displaying comics on there, the formats for most of those comics, if they were only usable on the iPhone, that would limit the audience of them quite a lot. So it's like an iPhone-shaped window into the world that already exists. I'm interested, do you know much about Longbox? Because I'm interested to know what...
I know a little bit. I know that they're getting an awful lot of buzz. They've been at a lot of cons. They basically develop an application that can... They claim how comics are meant to be read. And there's a quote somewhere, I think it's on... it's on Wired or Gizmondo, is it? Is that one of the other websites?
Yeah,
something like that. One of the founders said they've struck a deal with a global company, and the big rumor is that Longbox are building an application for the Apple tablet, and
it looks a bit like iTunes, doesn't it? It feels a bit like iTunes.
Yeah, almost. they've basically built an application that can just. Make you feel like you're reading a comic, so we'll see what happens. I know we're drastically running out of time here, and we could probably keep going and going and going about digital comics.
We are running out of time because it's almost 2012, and the world's gonna end in 2012.
We've been going for an hour and a half.
Well, it's good. Yeah, you've got staying power.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. You touched on a good point. I'm probably not going to want to read them. Until I can, you know, you were talking about it, till I can see the whole page, till I've got something I can fold up, put in my pocket, take it, but then unfold, and it's a decent size. That, and I'm a bit myopic, frankly, and the iPhone just isn't big enough.
Yeah, Bridgestone, if you're still here and you're still listening.
you haven't got much faith in the people who listen to it. You should have more faith in them.
Bridgestone, look up Bridgestone tablet. Bridgestone, the people that make the tyres, bizarrely, have invented a tablet which is bendable, and never would have expected it from them. And I just burped.
I think we carry on. Jane hates burping. So I was talking to Jane the other day And this really surprised me, given my wife's views on such things. She prefers farting to burping. She finds farting less disgusting than burping. Let's not test her now. But yeah, the Bridgestone one in particular, that's very cool, and that's quite exciting. Because that's essentially a bendable technology, isn't it? I think, yeah, it's an interesting topic, I think. But I don't think we're going to... I mean, you're a very strong advocate. I think it's...
I'm looking at it with interest more than anything, because I love my gadgets. You know, I've always, as you know, I've always bought the latest gadget, and I know the Apple tablet's coming, and I want to see what it's about, because a lot of the hype around it is being built around the comic industry.
Yeah.
You know, the comic industry and the book industry is really supporting the Apple tablet. You know, they want this.
Can I be cynical? Nice cheap way to deliver your product, isn't it?
Exactly. So that's why I'm intrigued by it. Because we all know that one day a comic that we all buy is not going to be available in paper format. It just won't. We know that. It won't. You know, whatever it might be, it won't be available in paper format. Batman will be, Spider-Man will be, but there'll be some comic that you enjoy reading will not be available in paper format.
I'm going to say Bomb Queen. Right, we've done digital comics to death, do you think, for today?
It's thought-provoking, though, isn't it?
It is.
To see that the industry's moving that way.
Yeah, I'm interested. I like digital comics, but at the end of the day, until I think I can lie down on my bed and read digital comics in the same way I read floppies, then I'll still be picking up floppy comics.
This is from the go, isn't it, really? I mean... Would you really have a stack of comics when you get on a train or a bus you're waiting for something?
It's
convenience, isn't it?
This is what I mean about people think of it in a really binary way, but they're all very different ways. Most people use all of these different ways of accessing things. When I listen to music, sometimes I use YouTube. I've got DVDs of music. I've got CDs of music, depending on what's available to me at any given time and where I am in the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll use any one of the various different formats to read things, and that's...
Who knows? Our generation will always read paper comics, I've no doubt. But
you're not going to buy choice. You're not going to buy choice watch a film on a really small screen if you've got your widescreen in the house. But if you're on a train, you're going to...
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it works for me, and it's sort of. But you know, we'll have killed all of the trees and stuff by. Yeah, we're running out of time.
We're not running out of time.
I don't know where I got that idea from.
Time essentially is infinite, isn't it? I mean, we've got as long as, you know, maybe you, I, and Richard have maybe got, 35, 40 years that we could continue doing this. Maybe you've got longer, 50 or 60 years, but we should probably try and wrap it up within the next 20 minutes.
That sounds good.
You guys were going to talk about, or Jane, I think.
Jane's going to talk about...
It's your first spotlight, Jane.
It's going to talk about American Jesus.
American Jesus.
Not American Jeebus. Okay.
Firstly, I'm going to say I'm not really going to do it the justice that John has on the website, which is...
MOMBcomics.com.
Did you write about American Jesus?
John did. It's a brilliant piece he's put up.
On monkeyonmybackcomics.com.
Yes.
Or MOMBcomics.com.
Oh. Either I'm just used to the abbreviation.
Or the actual correct URL, as I like to call it.
Anyways, so I think it's been out for a little while now.
It started a very long... I mean, they started publishing it as part of a thing that Mark Millar did across a bunch of different companies. So, it was a while ago. But
it came out... The book one's chosen. It's out on trade. It's been out for a little while now. It's about a boy called Jody Christensen who... just a 12-year-old boy doing 12-year-old boy things.
Masturbating a lot, then.
Well, one of us was going to say that. Insinuates it. It doesn't... Finding dirty magazines in bushes seems to be...
Not up a tree.
High up in trees.
High up in trees, yeah. And he's, just doing his usual 12-year-old things, and then he's in... However, accident, and I'm worried I'm going to spoil this for anyone who's read that.
Spoilers. Shall I do it for you so you don't have to worry about it?
Oh, go on then, yeah.
I think a truck drops on him.
Yes.
Okay. Pretty much, or like a truck. A truck appears to drop on him.
Well, it very much does drop on him. Mm. I don't want to spoil what's next. I'm a bit
worried about and it that. Turns out that, and he wakes up in hospital almost entirely unharmed, and he doesn't know what's going on there. It's all very strange.
I've not read it, but I can see it's a very thin book. There's not much.
No, there's not much to it, but a lot happens in it. So
I think it was a 3 or 4 part series. Yeah. It wasn't really long. And you said it's book one chosen. It's clear that definitely at some point Mark Millar has intended to carry it on.
Where was it published? Is it?
But I don't think anything else has come out.
Don't know. I think there is talk of the second book coming out. I think it's supposed to come out late this year. I think it's going to be early next year. It's coming out. It's very much been anticipated. Mm. Just to get back to the story, after he wakes up in hospital and scratched, he. Finds he has all different abilities than he had before his accident. So
strangely Jesus,
strange Jesus, and the speculation that he is Jesus Christ reincarnated. And I think one of the things that me and John sort of had a little bit of a talk about on this one was when the scenes where he's with his friends who are all the same age as him on the hill in a tree, and they all think he's Jesus Christ, and they want him to test that he's Jesus Christ. So what are the first things you do? The first things you remember about the Bible is turning water to wine.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm with him, yeah.
Exactly, and John thought that was a bit of a cliche, whereas I thought, no, if you're a 12-year-old kid, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to do the only thing you know you can do from any written publication of what's happened to you, you're going to repeat it, aren't you, to see if it's true. And over a period of time, it turns out that everything in the Bible that Jesus Christ could do, he can do too. There's a lot of dominant characters. The priest, who I can't remember his name.
Let's call him Mr. Priest.
He's not from Dublin, is he? No.
Mr. Dave.
I think he has.
We don't want to go there, not today.
He is just a side on his character. He had a family death, and he's since losing his faith. And whereas everyone in the town believes that Jodie is Jesus Christ, he's the one person who is very much adamant that he isn't until he proves his powers to him and it rebuilds his faith. So it says it on the back of talking when people are talking about Ooh. It. Sorry, can't remember who was he said it. This is quite bad.
Does it say on the back, Robin's dead and the Batman fans killed him?
Yes.
Or is that a different book I'm thinking of?
No, did I really read out all of the comments on that?
I enjoyed it.
It's just a spiel that talks about the book on the back of the cover, and it just says about how it's like Stand By Me, and it is. It's like a lot of stories.
Oh, you mentioned that a few weeks ago as well.
All rolled into one. I can see that. And
it's very much about him and his friends and how they deal with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's quite... It's Mark Millar is actually oddly restrained, considering he's known for being quite controversial, being deliberately quite controversial. Yeah. And in this, although the story obviously has its controversial elements, particularly in more religious countries than ours, I imagine in the US it would be more controversial because it's about Jesus coming back. It's quite a restrained story.
Yeah.
There's not really. It's not particularly graphic. It is mostly about him and his him and his friends and how his friends relate to him. Suddenly having all of these abilities and stuff. There is a twist.
Don't spoil
which it's they're all zombies. I did that thing. It really fucking pisses me off when people do that, where they tell you something's got a twist in it. It is a twist. The twist is that Mark Millar has convinced us all that there's going to be further books, but he might not actually do them. No,
who's on pencils?
Peter Gross, and he's very good.
Yes.
He's an unwritten artist, isn't it? And Lucifer. Unwritten.
He does unwritten. I think he did Lucifer. I think he started out doing the Books of Magic maybe years ago, which was an interesting series that DC Vertigo did.
He's a very emotional artist. lots of big eyes, even big eyes, beautiful eyes. Everything he draws centres on the eyes and the characters and stuff, isn't it?
I just think it's a gateway to the soul.
But I think it's perfect for this story, so it worked out really well. There is another mini twist in the book surrounding Jodie's parents, but we won't spoil that one. Because we're spoiling a lot of it, so I want to keep
we haven't spoiled any of it. We've just said that there's stuff to spoil. Yes, that's as bad, to be honest. I mean, you know, it's Rosebud. Rosebud was his sled. Was the big spoiler from Citizen Kane.
Did you not know that? There might be people who've not seen Citizen Kane.
Have you seen the t-shirt that has all of the spoilers on it?
No.
It's like Darth Vader's Luke's father, and it says all this. Oh my god, look at your face!
Let's not talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, we shouldn't have even said anything.
And the twist is, he's dead.
It's
all a dog's dream.
What film's that?
Wait, do your parents ever said that to you?
It's all a dog's dream.
I used to ask my dad lots of questions about the world, as you do in child, and he said, maybe we're all just a dog's dream.
My dad used to say, fuck off, I'm doing the pools.
What did my dad... I thought my parents fucked with my head.
He wasn't. He was just opening up the possibility.
Maybe we're all just a dog's dream.
How do you know we're not?
That's very cool. That's very deep. Maybe we're all part of a strange pancake-related maple syrup universe.
All dogs dream about is licking their balls or lady parts and food.
They dream about chasing rabbits. My dog definitely.
They do.
If you look
at their feet when they're sleeping, they're always running.
But that could be just dream dogs and a dog dream. Exactly.
So American That's Jesus.
Really I like when Jane says stuff like this. It's everyone just looks at her pityingly, whereas when I say something vaguely philosophical like that, Richard tells me to shut the fuck up and then drop some more beer on the floor.
Yeah, but when Jane says when Jane says it, it sounds all lyrical and poetic. When you sound it, it sounds stammering and industrial and ugly.
So what's everyone doing at the weekend then?
We've done American Jesus. That's it. American Jesus done.
Read it. It's extremely good. You'll enjoy it.
There's a review on mombcomics.com.
Interestingly, not interestingly necessarily, but if you like American Jesus or you like the subject matter in it, Russell T. Davis' Second Coming miniseries was probably the best thing Russell T. Davis has done.
Is that the guy who did Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Did you know he also wrote Queer as Folk?
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Everyone knows that,
to me. I know, but it surprised me when I did find out. I'm younger than you, but for the other side.
Would you like me already?
Australian?
Is he Australian? I thought he was English.
I did not know. No, yes, everyone knows
you
that.
You seem to look out for me, I don't want
Do you need me to wear that out?
No,
I'm not gonna.
So, The Second Coming is very good and doesn't go where you're expecting it to. American Jesus is very good and also doesn't go where you're expecting it to, but we don't know if that story's ever going to get finished.
I had an experience
with Mark
Miller.
You had a what?
I had an experience like that once when I went to the endoscopy department of our local hospital, and the equipment didn't go where. That wasn't worth it, was it? Really?
I thought you worked near the endoscopy.
And it all goes where I didn't expect it to.
You've had a Dalek up your ass as well.
What?
Not just a Dalek, sweetheart.
I've had similar exploratory roboticness. What's going on?
I think Richard's injured himself. He's been worrying so much.
How did you manage
that?
I don't know, it's quite a weird scar, isn't it?
It's a mom
Richard is self-harming in the room with us.
It's the mom-car stigmata tying into American Jesus.
If you're worried about any of the issues brought up in this week's...
Please feel free to contact monkeyonmyback@gmx.com, where a trained counsellor will not be waiting for your email.
So, what are we doing the weekend?
Editing a fucking podcast by the looks of things. No, I don't
even know what I'm doing at the weekend. I'm the in-laws are coming down.
Very nice.
They want to go to IKEA. We have an IKEA in Southampton. I've not been there yet, but it's apparently a really big fucking deal.
I've been to IKEA lots of times.
Have you had the meatballs?
Take alcohol.
Yes. No,
that's your answer.
Bloody genius
experience. I especially know they got the Christmas stuff up. It's all festive.
Oh, I hate Christmas.
Yeah, but girls like shopping.
And a duvet.
And it's cheap. You can't get better
first,
than that.
The first time I went to an IKEA, I had a terrible hangover and I'd had a chimichanga the night before the Mexican restaurant.
Gonna say a bone,
and I really thought I was going to mess my pants up around it. It was a horrible experience. I actually thought I was going to shit.
But IKEA's horrible.
I love their furniture, though.
Yeah, it's good.
I like IKEA and everything they do.
Sponsor us.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
To IKEA.
Well, I think I'll be able to get out of going to IKEA, but the in-laws are down, and they're lovely, they're really nice.
Once in your life, it's going
to
hurt
well,
you.
Well, we're moving house soon, we'll probably go in there so to buy all of our cheap
perfect
stuff.
Perfect time to make lists of what you want to buy, because it'll be the January sales.
Has anybody started doing their Christmas shopping yet?
Yeah.
No. That's probably what I'm going to start doing this weekend.
I've almost finished mine.
Why doesn't everyone have Amazon wish lists? This is the thing that bugs me. I set up an Amazon wish list because it's unfair to expect other people to know you well enough to buy you stuff for Christmas.
Are you suggesting that you're expecting gifts from all of us?
No. I mean, you know, just my fiancé and people like that. No,
it's
no,
not Christmas
want,
yet.
Almost.
No, but you have to buy the presents before it's actually Christmas.
Yeah, the 24th of December. That's the best time to buy them. It's the panic buying. It makes it more interesting on Christmas Day. There you go, Mum. What you've always wanted. Thank you, son. I really, 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 really want
a rampant
that
rabbit.
Yeah.
Oh, and on that bombshell.
No, what are you doing on the weekend if you're not doing Christmas shopping?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to a 40th birthday party.
You know people who are... Oh, I know people who are 40. That's a stupid
thing. Yeah,
so
I do. And I'm just going to point and laugh at him all night. Which could be quite enjoyable. It's my fiancée's birthday on Monday. So I've got to spoil her all weekend.
Happy
so
birthday, Joe.
Be nice to her, right? Not actually spoil her.
No, I'll spoil her and I'll just be nice to her. Well, the good thing is she's going out all day Sunday, so I've got the house to myself. You're coming over, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll come over.
Yeah, so and I'm off.
So what are you doing
in
the weekend?
So you can come over. Who wants to have a party of mine?
You're going to be
missing out. Good times.
This is how you end up on local news with your house being trashed. You've invited other people to a party.
They don't know where I live. Where do you live?
Don't
your
me
house, Jane. So yeah, I am being a loyal, kind boyfriend, stroke fiance for
don't stroke her fiance.
For most of the weekend.
Aww,
every variation
so
of that
sweet
joke ever, I say stroke quite often, and he always makes that joke
because it always sounds stupid. He is. Richard's actually touching my leg up there. In a very literal way.
I tell you.
And now my head.
After Rich has had his way with you, James, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Probably trying to wash myself.
Trying to.
What he's foolishly done there is stuck his finger in my ear. I have quite waxy ears. He's going to really regret that. You're lucky a big lump didn't fall out.
It's quite slippy, isn't it?
What am I going to be doing at the weekend? Reading comics, I imagine, to be honest with you, and things that I'm not prepared to talk about on the podcast.
Masturbating.
I'll probably do a bit of that. Nicola's away for another 3 days, so...
She's away again?
Yeah, she's away again.
Is everything
again.
Okay?
She's
I'm sat right next to you. She's not having an affair.
She's looking hot at the moment.
She is looking hot. She's lovely.
That was totally shot.
She's dressing up
to
someone. And it's not you.
Oh... You say such mean things. It's probably true, to be honest with you. Yeah, my comics and masturbation have seen me through.
They always work for me.
I always find solace in booze, comics and masturbation.
David
Wynn, we should probably mention.
Oh, yeah,
David
Wynn.
We probably won't mention them this week.
All the people that lasted
this
long.
But, David, thank you very much for sharing your books. We promise
really nice
we will read them and we'll do them justice next week.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I love your art. I know that much, but we'll read them, we'll talk about them next week.
I flicked through earlier on, but I have to say, you've got some very striking covers going on, actually. Really, really striking.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll look at those.
Yeah.
I won't be here next week, because I'm back to...
Ninjuring.
Sobriety.
Ninjuring. Yeah, and sobriety.
They don't allow alcohol up on the hill, which is why...
Anyway, we're going to do a bit of politics on the outro this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Out to the people.
Don't you want to know what I'm doing at the weekend?
Didn't we ask
we
you already?
We flying monkeys.
I thought we already knew. Sorry, you talked about IKEA and I got confused.
I was trying to promote IKEA. I was trying to make you feel better about going to IKEA.
So
I've been inspired by my Anita Blake comic. I'm going to be a vampire hunter for the weekend.
You big fibber.
She's just making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up.
You're going to actually hunt vampires.
Yes. Bruce Forsyth.
Are they going to be just people
no,
dressed
no,
as...
No, I know.
People
I've
dressed as
Edward
Cullen
no.
from Twilight.
No. It will not be Twilight inspired in any shape, way or form, I'll have you know.
She hates it even
Guys,
more.
We should get the fuck out of Dodge.
So that's what I'm doing.
Oh,
vampire
hunting.
Yes. I just touched Jane. I've never done that before. We're going to go now.
I'm
so,
going to do that post podcast.
So goodbye, and we'll hear speak to you. You'll hear us.
Yeah.
We won't
Next
hear
week.
You.
That was chaos, wasn't it?
That was complete
Bye!
Chaos.
Bye. We're sorry.
We love you.
Dear Peter Mandelson. I've been following your recent policy proposals, so now they've gone through, I thought I'd contribute some vocals. The focal point of my criticism's the ridiculous decision to bring in a system where you flick a switch and disconnect the internet when it's suspected that intellectual infringement has been detected. Even if the relatives they live with definitely didn't, I think it's in your best interest to bin this, yes? Cause isn't it a respected institution that we're considered innocent unless different is proven? Excuse me, how can you excuse exclusion when you've not pursued a definite conclusion? You're picking on the little man, the Lilliputian. Now there's a pain in my gulliver and it's confusing. You're swift to treat your citizens with such little human humour. It's no wonder that we're disillusioned. This resolution's gonna end in revolution, just like any other governance that doesn't accept evolution. To be perfectly honest, my lord, there'd be less intrusion if you curtly abolished the law and left us to it. And why the games require safety ratings, but any age can see adult aim plays and paintings. It's state censorship, the same as Beijing. But even China thinks a pirate isn't worth the time of day for chasing. I think Chairman Mao would say the same thing. Since you became secretary, it's like the state you're plaything. You made a massive sacrifice, invaded loads of privacy. But if I wanted to download, there'd be no hope of finding me. I could take my mobile phone to the local library and utilize the free wireless to find the file I need. Then what you gonna try, to disconnect their ISP? You might as well just burn the books on rights to speech. Dear Mandy, stay away from my family. Yours considerably angrily. Turnbull. Dear Mandy, stay away from my family. Yours considerably angrily. From the digital economy bill. Not the public, but the profiteers probably will. Who'll profit from the digital economy bill? Not the public, but the puppeteers probably will. I've talked about how intellectual property kills, and you're still just concerned with who's copping the bill. It's quite obvious you've been lobbied until the copy holder's got control, and you're probably the shill. It's not your problem when you're positioned on top of the hill in your property that probably cost a couple of mil. But wake up and smell the coffee, the milk is going off and you're not bothered cause your coffers are filled. Lord, it's time you took an honesty pill and acknowledged the majority aren't horribly thrilled. So what if I watched a torrent of comedy film? I don't need to, now my country's just become a Brazil. You know the truth, Orwell spoke his views, your house broke the news and all hell's broken loose. The utopia we hope for is overdue, so could you help out a little bit and don't be stupid? The onus is on you to show us you aren't using your throne in a way the voters don't approve. I know you're very close to David Geffen, so maybe his interests have given you a haze perception. Hey, do you reckon you'd win today's election, considering you're chasing this amidst a great recession? Deception's the politician's favourite weapon, but we're already jaded from one too many painful lessons. Dear Mandy, stay away from my